Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm Chance Ellison.
I'm Russell Howe.
And welcome back to Detroit by Chance, the audio edition, where we review all our movies. And our theme for this episode was serious actors in comedic roles. Like, these are actors who are known for their dramatic, mainly known for their dramatic work, who decided to step out of their comfort zone and, you know, try something different, try a comedy, which, I mean, look, it's like people underestimate, like, comedy is very difficult as far as, you know, like, film and just anything in general. I can't remember who said it, but like, and this famous quote, like, it's easy to make someone cry, it's hard to make somebody laugh.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're not used to doing it, you know what exactly. I mean, when you're on the flip side of it.
It's crazy that like comedy is not looked at in such high regard, especially by like bigger associations like the Academy. The Academy just like does not acknowledge comedy at all,
which is a shame because there's a lot of solid comedies that I mean easily could be.
Absolutely. It
could be on the list.
Absolutely. But the one we're looking at today is The Big Lebowski, in which, you know, our subject is Jeff Bridges, who we'll get to in a second. But, yeah, I mean, you're always going to look with the stats for me, but so I'm going to use a stat for you. This marks the fourth film in my own personal top ten that we've looked at on this show.
Really?
Yeah, it was... Psycho, Jaws, Pulp Fiction, and this.
Really? Huh.
Yes.
How about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it right now. This is literally my favorite comedy of all time. I adore this movie.
And I'm going to throw a stat out at you. This is another IMDb top 250.
I knew it would be.
yeah, at the time of the recording, 208.
208? Okay. Yeah. Respectable. But yeah. So Big Lebowski came out in 1998. It was directed by the Coen brothers. This is off of what would have come out before this?
Jeez.
Because it's definitely, I think it's after Crossing.
Miller's Crossing was 90, wasn't it like 93 or 94?
I think it's off of Fargo, because Fargo was 96. I don't think they had one in 97.
It is Fargo.
It was Fargo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. What great 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, really good 1-2 punch.
But yeah, so coming off of Fargo, this is another one they did. But this is look, they did some like zany comedies. Even this feels like a whole nother level for the Coen brothers.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what they did prior to, well, you have Barton Fink, you have Fargo, you have Miller's Crossing.
But yeah, and like they dabble in like either dark dramas or like, you know, like black comedies. This is a different animal entirely, and it's fascinating to see how this movie came together.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna look at that right now. This is The Big Lebowski. We start off with, I'm just gonna say it, we get introduced to one of the funniest narrators in movie history.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you got Sam Elliott as. I just not occurred to me. We never actually get his name.
No, it's just that soothing voice.
He's just credited as the stranger.
Yeah, just the soothing voice, Coors Light commercial zone.
Yeah. Dodge Jeep Ram zone, Sam Elliott. As we're introduced to our main character, Jeff the Dude Lebowski, played by Jeff Bridges. Now, funny enough, this is actually based on a real dude. It's based on Jeff Dowd, who's a film producer and political activist. Like, Coen met this dude on, they promoted their first film, Blood Simple.
Okay.
And they were so enamored by him that they based his entire character around him. And we'll talk about it periodically as we go on with the film, but Jeff Bridges in this movie is fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that looks completely relaxed, completely... looks like he's having the time of his life shooting this film. No pressure. I mean, it just looks like it just, you know what I mean? They have the camera in front of them and they're just doing pretty much whatever, you know? Just really, really, really looks, it just looks like a fun set to be on.
Look, as you find out in this movie, there's a lot of things you can change, a lot of things you can cut out. The one thing you cannot change is the dude himself.
No, you put any other actor in, it's a whole different movie.
Yeah, exactly. But down to like a lot of the comedy with this film comes with just the reactions of Lebowski himself.
Yeah,
like he's a guy who he's accomplished very little. He has very little, accomplished very little, and he's okay with that.
perfect. As long as he has a white Russian in his hand, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, he's content with he's so incredibly content. Like, I think that you see a lot of, like, you know, like books about the philosophy of the dude, and, you know, like a lot of reading into the meaning of what the dude stands for and shit. There's an entire religion, not like an official religion, but like still, entire religion based on the teachings of Jeff the Dude Lebowski. But like, and you see why, like he doesn't aspire for much, just aspire to be a lazy, unemployed lazy ass, but he's fine with that.
Perfectly content with it. Has no ambitions to do anything else. Just like kind of the really just cruise control day by day, you know,
in a weird way. He's kind of the poster child for being content with what you have.
Yeah. But it also poster child for like, kind of like almost envy him just because of the fact that he doesn't have any, doesn't feel like he has any responsibilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But either way, Jeff Bridges also a phenomenal fucking actor. We talked about him actually at great length in Tron Legacy, which is weird. I think that's the first movie we actually talked about him in. I think about it.
I think that was that was our first.
That had been our first Bridges movie.
Yeah, it had to have been. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jeff Bridges, like, again, like, I feel like he's not talked about enough as far as like actors of that era, because that dude was incredible. And like, if there was ever a case for comedic performance to be nominated for Oscars, this is like one of the textbook examples of like why they should be, because he's excellent in this film.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, so he comes back home and he's jumped by two goons. They're looking for some money. I always love where he gets stuck in the toilet. We're just like, where's the money, Lebowski? It's down there. Let me take another look.
Let me take another look.
Yeah. So it turns out they got confused with another Lebowski. There's another guy named Jeffrey Lebowski, who is like a multimillionaire.
Yeah, just obviously
they just got the wrong guy.
Got the wrong one.
Yeah. But anyway, so they end up taking off, but not before they piss on his rug, just for, like, I don't know, for wasting his time.
Yeah, just so random. The offense that he takes to it too, it's so great.
Yeah, and this is where we get, you know, our intro. Another great thing about the movie is the fucking soundtrack. The soundtrack for this film's awesome.
Fucking on point. Another movie that just, you know, when you hear these songs, it always a callback to the movie. Like, you always remember the songs.
This is so many songs that are like ingrained in my head with this movie,
which I'm shocked. I told you in you know, our chat that I have been like 20 years removed from this movie. I have not seen this movie for
probably
a good 20 years. Oh, wow. But I always remember, you know, that my condition.
What condition my condition was in?
No idea. Had no idea. And I'm a music connoisseur. I totally forgot that Kenny Rogers sings that. It doesn't even sound like
him. It is Kenny Rogers, isn't it?
Doesn't even sound like him.
It doesn't sound like him.
But always remember that song, and then just, you know, that whole entire little trippy scene.
Yeah. Something else you find about this movie is this movie has like a certain way with dialogue. For example, this first scene where we meet his bowling buddies, Walter, played by John Goodman, and Donnie, played by Steve Buscemi. Which, fun fact, in this movie, Donnie wears several different customized bowling shirts, but none of them say Donnie.
Yeah, and Steve Buscemi, another underrated actor. You want to talk about another guy that's just a great character actor who just appears and, you know, never really headlines anything, but is always a supporting cast usually.
Always a joy, always bringing it whenever he's in.
Just a fantastic, absolute fantastic actor.
And always fantastic in Coen Brothers movies whenever he shows up.
Oh, and just the fact that he's just not allowed to talk in this movie.
Yeah, someone else who gets used really well in this movie, John Goodman. Holy shit! What, every time he is on screen, he's a fucking riot.
He is definitely off the handle. Goes from 0 to 180 real quick.
Yeah. And actually, this character, Walter, based on John Milius, the writer and director of Red Dawn and Conan the Barbarian.
Okay, there we have it. I feel like this movie is just so perfectly casted.
Yeah, it is. But again, like, top of the dialogue, you notice this scene where, you know, they're talking about like what the dude should do. And they're all going back and forth for a conversation that could be solved in two lines.
Yeah.
Like the whole point of the conversation is like, you should go see that rich guy about getting a new rug. And the dude be like, shit, you're right. Got to the next scene. But this scene goes on for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just how they can drag it out.
But that's kind of the genius of this movie. Just seeing all these guys go back and forth about basically nothing is kind of amazing.
It's almost like, you know, how Seinfeld, they always say it's a show about nothing.
This movie is almost literally about nothing.
Yeah, it's like the conversations are usually about nothing.
Yeah. Like this whole like bit where like they can't figure out what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I love that. Where Donnie comes in, we're just like, Donnie, you're out of your element. Did you hear the dude's story? You know her reference here. They're like a child who wanted in the middle of the film. So ask. And just keep going back and forth like that. It's just the whole most conversations in this movie go like that. And the thing, it never gets tiring.
No, I feel like it's just so entertaining just to watch unfold.
Yeah. Anyway, so he goes to see the actual, the titular Big Lebowski. And we get another, like, maybe my favorite side character in this entire film, which is saying a lot. There are a lot of great side characters in this. I think it's Brant. I should know this. I'm pretty sure it's Brant.
Brant, yeah.
It is Brant. That's what I thought. Okay, Brant, played by the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Another just fantastic actor.
One of the best of his era.
Absolutely.
Gone far too soon.
But just to see him randomly show up, it's just so like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, I think that, again, we talk about Jeff Bridges a lot. People forget how funny Philip Seymour Hoffman could be.
Oh, yeah, and he was just hitting his stride there in the 90s, too, because you got to understand that a couple years prior to, I mean, he's a side character in Twister. Like, not a lot of people, you know, obviously.
Yeah, two years prior.
Not, you know, non-movie. And then, well, you have 97, you have Boogie Nights, 97. Yeah, so what I'm saying is it's just he's really starting to hit his stride here in the late 90s.
He really started make a name for himself.
Yeah, and it's crazy that like he had it early. He had all those gifts early.
He did. So we find out that this dude the Big Lebowski is actually like, you know, he's a multimillionaire philanthropist. I think he's like Time Person of the Year or maybe Turn It Down, something along those lines. Got a key to the city. Got it made. But he's also a grade A asshole, played by David Huddleston.
Yeah, another perfect casting for it.
Yeah, a guy who I for the longest time thought was fucking Wallace Shawn in like heavy makeup.
Hey, look, yeah, I can see that.
Mostly the voice made me think Wallace Shawn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, this movie's so quotable too, where he's sitting down just like, I'm not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. That's what you call me. That or Deuter or El Deuterino, if you're not in the whole brevity thing. This is going over. Like, he's like basically the polar opposite of what he is. He's like, you know, the Big Lebowski, someone who's strived for excellence his entire life. He lost his legs. I think he's saying he lost his legs in war.
Yes. That's what he says.
Yeah, lost his legs in war. It's like did I wait for somebody to help me? No. It's like did I come to your house and urinate all over your rug? Like, no. But like, yeah, like they were looking for you, dude. Like, what the? Yeah, like he's just like he will not give this dude a break for the rug.
No.
And in classic the dude fashion, he couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walks out and he's like, oh yeah, just he said, take any rug in the house. But then we meet another character, which is like, this is like the weirdest bit of casting considering like who this actress is. It's Bonnie Lebowski played by Tara Reid,
which I am. That's 1 year removed from American Pie, which is crazy because we didn't.
Well, no, 1 year before American Pie.
No, 1 year removed from. Never mind, one year before.
You can't be removed from
would have been the year after. Yeah, I met 1 year prior to
American Pie.
American Pie from 99. But yeah, we didn't know who she was, you know, back in 98.
Yeah, I mean, well, Josie and the Pussycats didn't do. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Josie and the Pussycats was after. Oh, wow. She literally, this is literally her second movie. I didn't know
that. Yeah, because I was going to say Urban Legend was right after, too, I think, 98.
Like, her first movie was A Return to Salem's Lot. Yeah, and then so, she went right to this.
And then I think, what, American Pie, Urban Legend was up there, too, I think.
Urban Legend was actually the same year.
Okay. But I mean, we just didn't know who she was. And actually watching it again, I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. It's Tara Reid.
Well, considering how the way Tara Reid's career is gone, it's kind of crazy to think how she was in a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah. As like one of her first, like her second film, like her, you know what I mean? Crazy.
You want to know who was originally considered for the role of Bunny Lebowski?
Who's that?
Charlize Theron.
Really?
Yeah, she was the first choice for Bunny. I'm not sure what happened, but she was the first. She was considered for the role. I'm not sure she was the first choice, but she was considered.
Jeez.
She lost to Tara Reid, which is weird.
The devil's advocate's own Charlize Theron, huh?
Yeah, that thing you do zone, Charlize Theron. But anyways, yeah. So he takes the role. We see that. This is Lebowski's wife, and you're like, something doesn't quite add up here.
Yeah.
And like hurt, but even her lines are so funny. We're like, I'll suck your cock for $1,000. Brad can't watch. He has to pay $100.
And it was hilarious because he's actually thinking. He's like, what? Like,
shit. Can I swing this?
Do we do this? Like, I don't know.
I also love Phillips, but Brant's laugh.
Yeah.
So great. He gets his rug. The ball is going on. And then we get, again, one of my favorite things in the entire movie, where this is the era of bowling alleys where, like, they didn't have the, because I was confused, because, like, they didn't have the, like, the TV scoreboard. That's what I was used to. That's what I grew up seeing.
Oh, yeah, this is the projector board.
Walter shows up late, and this is the whole foot is on the line sequence.
Oh my god, it's so hilarious. It's funny because I used to be in a bowling league too, which is crazy because I could thank Kingpin for that. I think that really kind of rolled my passion into bowling.
You bastard! You did that on purpose.
We went there, but no, they used to have a thing where if your foot went over in league play, there would be like a beeping sound. It would be like you'd hear an eh, and you would get a zero for that ball. So I just thought it was funny because I'm like, it's just so funny because the foul, and he just goes on and on. He just will not let it go.
And he whips out a gun. Was just like, what the hell? Yeah. Oh, it's getting real.
Yeah, seriously.
Am I the only one gives a shit about the rules?
That's somebody who takes bowling a little bit too seriously.
Yeah, so he basically points a gun at him until he marks it zero.
Yeah, it's like, it's a foul. All right, then.
Yeah, like, sure. Okay, fine. There, zero. You good? You happy? Yeah, the thing is, and I think of these conversations or with these scenes is that a lot of them are interchangeable, where it's like something happens, then something else happens. They don't really feed into the other until they do. Like most scenes of this are just like isolated scenes.
A series of events,
which normally does not make for a good comedy, but in this case, it's kind of the point. I'll get to that at the very end.
Yeah.
So the dude is there. He's admiring his new rug. Really ties the room together. That's the line that keeps getting pretty in this movie. One of my favorite. Like anytime I get a new rug, I would say, or I see someone buying a rug, like, wow, it really ties the room together. turns out that he gets called back to Lebowski's mansion, and Bunny has been kidnapped.
Crazy.
Yeah, she's been kidnapped, and they're serious because they sent a ransom letter with a toe in the mail.
Yeah, and you gotta love it. When you think of like ransom letters with like, I always think like the Bodyguard kind of maybe started that with all like the clippings and stuff like that.
Every letter looks up to have a different magazine.
Yeah. And I feel like the body, I think like the Bodyguard for me is one of the ones I always call back to. Cause I remember, you know what I mean? How the letters and stuff like that, but it's just funny how many movies like after that kind of borrowed that formula.
How many things in pop culture just borrowed from this?
Oh, that's completely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically what they want him to do is they're asking for a ransom. I think it's $1 million.
Yeah.
So they said, like, all we need you to do is be the drop man. That's it.
Yeah, just drop it off and that's it.
Before we get to that, we got to meet another side character who is excellent in his own right. Jesus, played by Coen Brothers staple John Turturro.
Gotta love it.
Oh my god. Again, like another one of those characters who, like, every time he's on screen, I am dying laughing. It's Jesus.
Yeah, and you always remember him, that close-up shot of him holding the ball and his tongue licking the ball.
Him tonguing the ball.
It's so far-fetched, but it's just one of the ones that you never forget that. It's really funny.
Yeah, again, the intro to his intro along with the Spanish version of Hotel California.
Which I love. It's great.
So fantastic. But yeah, Jesus is just, he's such a great character. And yeah. It does show like how much this movie stuck around because, I know this, like he got his own spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jesus role, which came out, I think, 2 years ago. If I'm not mistaken, which Turturro directed, in which he reprised his role as Jesus. I'll admit I have not seen this one.
I was going to say I have not seen that either. So
because I've heard it's not very good, but still, like the fact that you can get a spinoff movie made like over 20 years later,
yeah,
based on a character who only had a couple minutes of screen time.
Yeah, I mean, but
kind of a testament to how much the movie has stuck around in the cultural zeitgeist.
Oh yeah, I mean, pop culture references out the can. It's just so iconic of the '90s when you think, you know, movies that really kind of defined the decade.
Yeah. Anyway, we continue on because yeah. there's still oh yeah, there's still a whole ransom kidnapping plot we got to get to.
Oh yeah.
But before that, the dude's hanging out on his rug. He gets ambushed by more people. Gets the shit beat out of him, and then his rug has been taken again.
And you gotta love the random Flea cameo.
Yeah, Flea, who is one of the... We'll get to who he is in a second.
Yeah.
But once again, the dude has had his rug taken out from under... Actually, literally taken out from under him, because he was lying down on it.
Literally, yeah.
He goes back to Lebowski's mansion because it's time for the drop. He gets the briefcase as well as a phone just to call when the job is done. He picks up Walter, and Walter's got a genius idea to keep the $1 million and instead use a fake bag filled with his underwear.
They'll never know the difference.
They'll never. Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
They're just going to pick it up and feel money, right? They're just going to be like, oh, there's something in there.
We'll take your word for it that it's there.
No big deal.
Look, say what you will about the dude. He might be a lazy ass, but he does have a moral compass, which is like, he's not going to let somebody, he's not like, again, he might take it easy, but he's not going to like lie down when something doesn't feel right. Like, he's not going to let someone die because of, you know, him or one of his friends. So he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, especially because he gets pulled into this whole entire, you know, mess. So yeah,
yeah. But the drop goes wrong. They end up tossing Walter's underwear, and they ride off. So they did not get the money.
No,
get the money, and that one was probably dead. And you know what? He honestly does feel bad about it.
The dude wrecks his car. Walter does a dive. Does a roll.
Yeah, does a roll out.
Yeah.
The dude's trying to figure out what to do. But until then, but before that, we got to talk about the bowling tournament that's going on.
Yeah.
It's taking place on a Saturday, which Walter cannot play because it's Shabbos Shabbos.
Yes, and he is a recently convert Jew.
He's a convert to Judaism.
Yes.
I love that joke so much. Shabbos Shabbos! trying to figure that out. But at the same time, the dude's car gets stolen.
Just cannot catch a break.
No. I love where he's walking away and the phone keeps ringing. He just will not answer it.
Yeah, you can hear him. Like, yeah, you hear it ringing. He just...
Phone's ringing, dude. Thank you, Donnie.
Yep, just not having a part of it.
Yeah. So he reports it's stolen. I love him talking about his briefcase. He's like, oh yeah, I got my briefcase with my... No, work papers, work documents. Like, oh, what do you do? I'm unemployed.
He will not say that he has a bit. Obviously, you're not going to say you have $1 million. That
raises more questions.
Yeah, I mean, how did you get this not being an employed person, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, the dude then gets called to another mysterious location. Held by an artist who, for some reason, is flying naked trying to paint a canvas. Literally no reason for this.
Good old Julianne Moore.
This is Maude Lebowski, played by Julianne Moore. She's Jeff Lebowski's. It's his stepdaughter, right?
Stepdaughter. Which is crazy. What a 90s she had. I mean, she's in a PTA film and then a Coen Brothers film the year after.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that's when she was starting to come about too. Like, you were starting to see a lot more.
Julianne Moore had honestly, she had like an elite 90s when you look at it.
Oh, I mean, there was nobody hotter in the game. If you think about it, for director wise, you have Paul Thomas Anderson, you have the Coen brothers. I mean, yeah.
And then you did Benny and June, Shortcuts. I mean, Lost World. I mean, I get it, Roger Spielberg, but still, I mean, still Lost World, Boogie Nights, Nick Lebowski.
That's within a couple years of
me. Magnolia.
Like, yeah, another PTA. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. She's another one. Just had like just, again one of the quietly one of the best actors of her era.
Yeah, very under the radar too.
Love Julianne Moore. Just stay far away from Amy Adams. Stay far away from her.
Yeah. Don't be her.
Yeah, well. You remember 2022. They had like that was the first year they started together. They started in two movies, and both of them were fucking awful.
Yeah, I remember what
Dear Evan Hansen. That's the one we looked at.
Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah, but it's crazy how easily they can get like they can merge together. Do you know what I mean? That's true.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Like, just think about it. Yeah,
Dear Evan Hansen. Woman in the Window is the other one. Yeah. You ever see that one?
I have not.
Oh my god, it was fucking atrocious.
not a good year for the collabs, huh?
No, not a good year for the collabs.
Yeah, that's really a shame too.
but talk about Julianne Moore in this movie. Like, she's also like, again, another actress. Like, people forget like how funny she can be.
Yeah,
like, I love the conversation they have where just like people. I find men uncomfortable with the word vagina. Let's talk about word like dick, cock, Johnson. He's like, she's so confused hearing all this. He's like. Johnson?
She was very sexual in the late 90s.
She was. I mean, she was a smoke show, honestly.
Oh man, it was crazy how many like times she like bared like all of like with Boogie Nights, this practically, you know.
Yeah. We find out that the rug that he took from the Baskies house just so happened to be the one owned by her mom.
What are the odds? All the rugs that you decided to take.
Yeah, so because that's the reason he got his ass kicked and got his rug stolen again, because he took the one rug he shouldn't have taken.
Yeah, he went to the West Wing.
He did go to the West Wing.
It's forbidden.
It is forbidden. now you gotta leave the castle. And get saved from wolves.
And walk away without a rug.
Walk away without a raid. we also see that Maude is someone who doesn't quite trust Bunny Lebowski.
Yeah,
mostly because she is actually a former porn actress,
which is so crazy.
Yeah. Her and her dad don't get along. So what she wants him to do is I forget what she even wants him to do. Like it's so unimportant. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's all regarding the money, and also, you know, but keeping an eye on her tab, and also she gives him a card for the doctor, for a doctor, because, you know, got hit in the head. Want to make sure you're okay.
And he's thorough.
Yeah, and he's very thorough.
That's the other thing I start laughing about.
She asked him to help recover the money. That's what she asked him to do.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you're asking this dude to do it, but
yeah, it's just so funny.
Yeah, He then gets picked up by, it's funny, he gets out of one limo and gets hauled immediately into another limo, in which the Big Lebowski's waiting.
Yeah.
And he's just like, they didn't get the money, you asshole. What the hell did you do? It's like, look, man, I just, you know, things happen, it's complications. It's like, this is not the aggression will not stand. That was earlier, but still, like, any conversation between the dude and the Big Lebowski.
Oh yeah.
Jokes are rolling. I always love when these two interact.
And I also like when he gets shoved into the limo, he's more worried about spilling out the white Russian than anything. He's trying to not spill his alcohol in the limo.
Well, also, I was wrong earlier. But this is where they get the tow. This is where they get the tow.
Okay.
Not when they get the first initial ransom. But yeah, because they didn't get the money, this is where the tow comes in.
Okay, so now they think that obviously they've
Walter's not favored. It's like, you want a tow? I'll get you a tow. I'll get you done by seven o'clock this evening.
Yeah, Walter's just a go getter, man. He's just, yeah, 0 to 180, man. No filter.
0 to 180.
Yep.
I love that where he's like freaking out the waitress. We're just like, I'm sitting here. I gave my year for this country, and yeah. I'm going to sit here and eat.
He's gonna finish his coffee.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish my coffee. You can go. I'm finished. but again, big shock, Russell. The dude's house gets broken into again.
This guy, it's like you thought Lemony Snicket had a series of unfortunate events.
Change the locks. Get a thicker door.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, he literally has nothing. He doesn't have anything in there.
Yeah, but I love where he's ambushed by this group of German nihilists.
Yeah,
like I said, one is Flea, one is Peter Stormare.
Peter Stormare, yep.
And I have no idea who the other guy is.
Yeah, it's just Peter Stormare and Flea.
And Flea,
and it's crazy because Stormare was in Fargo too, so that's kind of crazy.
Stormare is another big Coen Brothers guy.
Yeah, so Turturro, all these guys, like, they really recycle them out a lot, but
they do. I mean,
you can see why.
Really not, like, the one who's not here is Frances McDormand.
Which is crazy, because she's literally, like, if you look at anything, like,
Coen Brothers,
like, in the 90s, 2000s, so she's there, yeah.
Yeah. a little bit where, again, they're trying to figure out where the money is, and then they just throw up there a weasel in his bath.
That was me.
I know it's certainly not me. My phone's in the other room.
It was weird how it sounded though. I was like, what the hell just happened?
But yeah, I love the bit where they did throw a ferret in his bathtub.
Yeah, he's trying. All he wants to do is just relax and take a bath, man.
Well, cut the ferret, Johnson. The dude end up getting his car back. But the briefcase is not there.
Yeah, his papers are not in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you got any, like, leads or anything? And, you know, classic cop fashion, it's like, leads. he gets his car back, and in a bizarre turn of fate, usually this kind of scene for the very end. No, they meet the narrator in the middle of the movie. Or the main character meets the narrator in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, which is such a great meeting between the two, though.
Yeah, like, this is a guy who has, like, such, like, a great admiration for him. And the dude, again, could not care less, has no idea who this dude is.
Yeah, it's like, this guy is pretty much, like, he's in awe of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, the sweet, buttery voice of Sam Elliott.
Oh, man, what a voice.
What a fucking voice. So, yeah, this is, take her easy, dude. Gives him some word of advice. He then goes see Maude again. Then we get another cameo from people like people might forget. David Thewlis was in this movie.
Oh yeah, how did we forget? Yeah.
Again, funny as hell. Like, again, I don't think there's a single side character who doesn't get a laugh.
No. I mean, everybody usually. I mean, everybody does.
Yes, we find out that the guys who threatened him in the bathtub, this is Monsworth, by the way, the guys in the bathtub, they're not even a gang. They're a German synth pop group.
Oh, man.
Like, think this movie just, like, just happened. It's weird. Like, there's a whole bit where they're having a conversation with David Thewlis, but they're, like, 10, like, 5 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is going on? And then Jeff goes, like, it was one of my favorite Neil drops in any movie, where he goes to the doctor. He's about to do the cough test or like the hernia or whatever. You hear like the glove snap and immediately cuts away to looking out my back door.
Which is great.
Yeah, I always love that scene. But the dude actually did find the clue. He's looking in his car, which he actually crashes it again. He looks inside his car and he finds some homework from a kid who he believes is the one who stole his car.
It's a clue. Anyways,
it is a clue. They did find it. So they go to this kid's house. And first of all, I give credit to this kid because, like, you know, directing kid actors is not easy.
Yeah.
But directing kid actors to do this is got to be difficult because this kid, he doesn't speak.
Yeah.
He doesn't make a facial movement. Nope. He has a stern face the entire time.
And I just
during this scene is very difficult. I'll explain why.
Which I love Walter. How does Walter not emit a reaction from this kid? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like John Goodman was trying his best to break this kid, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so he's like, is this your homework? What happened to the briefcase? And he sees a car outside. Walter sees a car outside and seems like, oh, he's just spent it on this car. Like, okay, you're going to find out what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass. He goes to the car, pulls out a crowbar, and starts beating the shit out of this car.
Yeah.
While this kid couldn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, because it's not his car.
Like, I want to know. I'll talk to this actor. I want to know, like, how hard it was to keep a straight face during all this.
Yeah, because I mean, like you said, I mean, you think Goodman is just trying to get a reaction, trying to get him to crack.
It's also one of my favorite made for TV edits, which is in the TV version, it's what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I was beating the shit out of this car. And yeah, it turns out not even his car.
Yep, not his car.
But the dude pays the price because he takes the crowbar and he's beat the shit out of the dude's car.
The dude just cannot catch a break.
The dude cannot catch a break. It sucks. But anyways, the dude decided, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm gonna make sure nobody gets in here again. He tries to, like, you know, just like nail down a piece of wood to bolt the door to, you know, pry not to pry the door shut, but, like, you know, put the chair to make sure the door doesn't open again.
Yeah.
Turns out his door opens both ways. It's like, okay, shit. And the two guys from the beginning of the movie who come to meet him, and they work for Jackie Treehorn, who's a porn producer that Bunny Lebowski used to work for.
Yeah.
Played by Ben Gazzara.
Another random cameo.
Yeah, random cameo, but great actor.
Oh yeah.
Really great actor. Really, really, really fun to see in this. And he's talking about this whole plot. You know how you know, Bunny escaped. He owes her money, or she owes him money. And the dude's just like, look, all the dude wanted was his rug back. Jackie drugs him. And I didn't really understand for what purpose. It feels like I always thought like he drugged him trying to put him in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see like Jeff Lebowski starring in Gutterballs. And this is the sequence you were talking about earlier. It's the What Condition My Condition Was In.
Oh man.
Having seen most of the Coen Brothers films, this might be the weirdest sequence they've ever directed.
Because it's just so out of putting for the film, you know?
Out of nowhere, it's complete nonsense. Saddam Hussein shows up for no reason.
Yeah, but it, like I said, and obviously 20 years removed from seeing this, you know, having seen this movie, and I still remember that, you know what I mean? It's crazy how just certain scenes like that just stick in your head.
Jeff Bridges has his whole dance sequence, and you know what? He sells the shit out of this whole sequence.
I dig it. I dig this trip that we're on right now.
I do. It was a weird trip, and then he sees the three Niles with all, like, red body suits with giant pairs of scissors. Like it's some like weird trippy shit. But maybe my favorite sequence in any Coen Brothers movie. That's saying a lot because they've done a lot of great stuff.
Like you said, I think it's just one of the ones that just always it just seared in your head just because of the fact that it's just it you know it's it stands out from the rest of this film.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, he gets picked up by the cops. He gets blamed for getting drugged.
Yeah.
And he just like yeah, Jackie Chan is kind of like this whole, you know, kind of like a political schemer. He holds a lot of weight in this town.
Yeah.
And he's just like and this is like stay like because they think he's threatening him, they're just like stay out of this town, Lebowski. I love the bit where he just throws a coffee mug at him.
Yeah, this poor guy just oh man, the dude just had a rough go of things.
And it doesn't end there because he gets kicked out of a cab for not liking the Eagles.
Yeah, he's not an Eagle fan, which is funny because, again, go back to Jesus and Hotel California Eagles. Kind of funny how that they bring that back again.
Exactly. Anyway, but he pulls over. And this is like a really – this is like I always thought it was a really weird bit when I was watching it before I realized what was happening. He gets passed by a red convertible being driven by Bunny Lebowski herself.
Yeah.
With all 10 toes.
What?
And you're just like, wait, what's happening?
Wait, nobody cut her toe off.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's back in his apartment. Gets again, big shot, guys. Gets broken into again.
Guy just cannot win.
Yep. Needs better security. but this time it's Ma Lebowski, and he's just like, dude, take me, Jeff. It's like, okay, sure,
go for it. Why not?
Yeah. So the two of them have sex, and she starts doing stretches. Like, what's going on? She's just like, oh yeah, this increases the chance of conception.
Conception. Like, yeah.
Yeah. She's trying to get pregnant.
It's like, wait, I thought we were just a one time go here. This is trying to get knocked up here.
Yeah, you're just like, wait, why? Like, why is she doing this? The reason she's doing this is because, the dude does not seem like a guy you would want to be, you know, want to be a dad.
I don't think he. His lifestyle will not let him be a dad. You know, what do you? That completely disrupts your whole day to day.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's kind of the point. See, Maude wanted somebody who was, by definition, a deadbeat, so she can raise the kid by herself.
Enter the dude.
Enter the dude. But yeah, so that was the whole point. We also get another reveal here where we find out that turns out Jeff the Big Lebowski is broke.
Yeah, not as rich as we would have thought.
We would have not as we would have assumed.
Yeah, seriously.
As we would have assumed. Turns out when Maude's mother died, she left everything to him. She left everything to her.
Yeah.
And so the dad is on her payroll, and because she married Bunny, she kind of cut him off.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, well, shit. So things are, you know, they're taking turns.
For sure.
We also find out that he's been tailed by a PI for you know a good chunk of the movie,
which is funny too.
Yeah, he's just like, wait a minute, what? And so yeah, he calls Walter to come pick him up, and he's just like, I think I figured this out. I don't think they ever gave us any money. the whole thing, this whole kidnapping was orchestrated by Lebowski to essentially just make $1 million disappear.
Yeah.
And the reason he had the dude do it was because he's someone who it's easy to buy that he would screw up the drop.
Yeah.
It's just like this is where the whole thing takes this wild, like dark thriller-esque turn. You're just like, wait a minute, what is all this?
They did what for what?
Yeah. So they go to confront the real Lebowski, because who also like siphoning money off of his charities. He has a whole urban achievers He borrowed the money from that charity to do this, but basically he just kind of stole. He stole from his own charity.
Yeah, which I'm sure like a lot of other.
Brett Favre be proud.
I was just thinking it too. Season tickets to the Packers await you.
Well, season tickets. Well, maybe the Vikings. Maybe the Jets. One of the three.
One of the three. Take your pick.
Yeah. It also turns out that the tow that was in the mail belonged to one of the Nihilist's girlfriends.
Yeah.
we also find Walter's also just like that. This fucker can walk. They confront him. They leave. And they're like, this fucker can walk. Watch. And he picks him up, lifts him out of his chair, and just drops him.
It's so funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, that plot's basically over. They go back to the bowling. Well, it's not over yet. They might be done with that plot, but that plot's not done with them. Mm-hmm. They go back to the bowling alley, and the dude's car is on. They come out, the dude's car is on fire.
Of course,
it's the Nihilists, and they're just like, "We want the money, Lebowski, or else we kill the girl." Like, you didn't have the fucking girl. We know you never did. And it's like, we cut our talk. I thought we got $1 million. It's not fair. yeah, and then they end up fighting the Nihilists. Flea gets hit in the gut with a ball. Walter ends up biting one of their ears off.
Yeah.
I also love like when the dude in that one like super the lanky one are getting into. We're just like fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I love that. But amidst all the chaos, turns out we are a man down as Donnie has fallen.
Poor Donnie.
What's happening?
Yeah, poor Donnie.
Yeah, it was like there's no shots fired. Turns out he's having a heart attack. Where you're just like, that wasn't even necessary.
You just feel bad because the guys, not only did they tell him to shut the fuck up all the time, he's not allowed to talk.
No, then, have his moment.
Yeah, he let him have his moment. Then he has a heart attack. He doesn't even get shot. Oh.
Yeah, he dies of a heart attack. Yeah, he dies of a heart attack. So he gets cremated. And this is maybe my favorite scene in the entire movie, or at least one of. He gets cremated. they go to like this cliff. First of all, they don't even take the urn. They take him in a coffee can, which I swear was the inspiration for due dates.
Because it's so funny though, because of the fact that I can say it because both my parents got cremated, but it's like it's funny because of the fact that they charge you like so all these extra fees, and it's like why are we renting this? Like why can't we just do can't you just provide your own? That's why they get the coffee can, so that they try to save money on the of having to not cut out the urn. It's funny.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, yeah they put him in a coffee can. They take him to this like cliffside, which they had no idea what his dying wishes were. This could not been at all what he wanted.
And Walter just completely just like fucking ad libs this whole entire shit, dude. It's so funny.
Into the bosom of the ocean, which very well you might have been taken from us too soon, like so many people in Vietnam. Why, God, why? I always love where he just like empties it out and flies right in the dude's face.
And you see his sunglasses get completely pelted with ash. It's so funny.
Yeah, but anyway, we go back to the bowling alley. We get our one last talk with the narrator. The greatest closing, maybe the greatest closing line from any character. The dude abides.
Hell yeah!
And that's the end of the movie. So before I get into my analysis of this film and like why I love it so much, you want to give your final thoughts on this movie?
Yeah, I mean, definitely one of, if not one of the best Coen brother films. I think that, the fact that we talked about this movie came, and it's so funny, this is fitting, 25th anniversary, not planned. I just thought it was kind of funny of the film. But yeah, it's one of those things where like the movie has still stood the test of time just in pop culture. When you think of the 90s, like I said earlier, you think of movies that kind of shaped the decade of the 90s. You think, obviously, Scream. Big Lebowski, when you're thinking movies that you're thinking of the 90s, and just everything about the film, you have the whole entire, aspect of, Jeff Bridges just playing a guy. Just, it looks like he's just having so much fun playing this, you know, this dude literally who's just so cruise control on in life, just cruise control, you know. We'll just take each day as it is and just no set destination. Let's just roll with it, you know. And then you have Walter, you know, John Goodman, perfect cast for him. Just 0 to 180 at the drop of a hat. I love Steve Buscemi. And like we just mentioned, the poor guy's just not allowed to talk in the movie. He doesn't get shot. He just has a heart attack. I mean, it's like, come on. It's so.
The guy that dies in a lot of stuff. But then there's so many movies where he's just like, did he even need to die there?
He's just so great, man. He's such a gem of an actor. Just everything about the film. Like I said, it's almost like a movie form of Seinfeld. You know what I mean? It's just because you watch, you're like, fuck, it's just so, like, it's so ridiculous and so stupid. It's stupidly entertaining is what I would call this movie. Stupidly entertaining, stupidly funny. I mean, because it's like, it's so far fetched. It's so crazy. But you always hook, line, and sinker, you know, you're hooked into the film, you know, obviously side characters, you know, Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman, just everything about it was perfectly casted. It's one of those movies that we can come back and talk to, you know, talk about. And it's crazy that I had been 20 years removed from seeing this film, just absolutely nuts. But I'm glad that it won. I had a feeling, I didn't think it was going to win by like that much. Because we did put some good gems on there.
We did.
It's a perfect film in its own right, though. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a perfect comedy because, like, it's in a weird way. Because, like, here's the thing: like, you have like so many things, like a millionaire, a kidnapping,
yeah,
a group of nihilists, head of a porn industry, tons of like weird, crazy side characters.
Yeah,
what is this build to?
Yeah, I mean, what's the cliffhanger? Absolutely nothing. Like nothing. And bowling is just the small sport that they're playing. You know, and that's the other thing. The bowling. What does the bowling really have to do with it? Really, you know what I mean? Like, it's so funny.
Funny because we never see the dude bowl.
No, he never got to throw a ball.
Yeah,
but he's on the team. And
it gives me so many questions. Is it what happened to the kid who sold the car? Like, why did he sell the car? Did you get his rug back? Did Ma end up getting pregnant?
Yeah.
Did Bunny ever pay back Jackie Treehorn?
Yeah, what happened?
Are they ever going to do that? Are they ever going to get to the bowling tournament? Are they going to win the bowling tournament?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's so many questions. And the movie, like, things kind of, like, this movie, where things just happen. And then it just stops.
And then it's like, that's it. Like, mic drop, you know, decipher what you must from it. It does leave a lot of questions, you know, left unanswered. But again, I guess that's still the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, it's a movie where it doesn't really amount to anything,
yeah.
But it kind of revels in that. And the reason you don't care about all those living questions is because it doesn't really matter to the main character.
No, I mean, because if it doesn't really impact the dude, like you really don't, it doesn't really. It's just all okay. You know what I mean? It's whatever.
Yeah. Again, he's like these things don't matter to him. So like by proxy, like why should they matter to you? And I said at the beginning, like you can change a lot in this movie. The one thing you cannot change is the dude himself. His reactions or lack thereof are what make this movie work.
Yeah. What you get from Jeff Bridges, I don't think can be replicated. It just can't be replicated. You know, just the coolness of the dude, just the, you know, the lack of just care at some points, man. It's just like all these things are going wrong. That would completely unhinge a character. Yeah. Dude just kind of just like, you know, cruise control. Say la vie, baby. You know, it's just whatever. Let's just roll with it.
But yeah, I do think that's why the movie is so brilliant, because like not many movies have accomplished this kind of story in this kind of way. It's a rare feat. So like when someone can do it this well, I think it does deserve to be acknowledged.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like I said, this is my favorite comedy of all time, which is funny. I always have my holy trinity of comedies, and we've actually talked about all three of them,
which is completely
it's that it's. Crazy, yeah. The Big Lebowski, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and something like that, which all three of them we talked about.
I've just never put together a list. It just seems so overwhelming. I know, you know, obviously, you know me with the Ghostbusters, so we've reviewed that one.
I feel like that'd be your one. I feel like that'd definitely be your one.
Definitely be one. Godfather's there. I mean, Godfather's with it, but it's a whole different genre. So it's like, comedy wise, though, like, I mean, you know, you definitely got to put Ghostbusters up for me for sure.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us here. Russell, you're our plug for head out.
Yeah, Notorious by Chance, the Facebook group for you guys to join. That's where we put the polls up for you guys to chime in and vote. You guys can also find us YouTube channel, Notorious by Chance. And don't forget our TikTok. We are TikTokers.
Yes, we are.
And we're getting a little bit of traction there, which is fun. It's something different. Like I said, you know, just catch our out-of-theater reactions to different films that we catch, give you just a little taste of our movie reviews on the go.
If you have a Twitter, Instagram, Chance Wars _91. Like I said, check out the YouTube channel for Notorious by Chance. Check out Less Size Strong Size, show where we talk about football. We're doing a little less frequently right now, but we are still doing it. We'll actually be back next week to talk about we're doing every NFL team described with a movie, every NFL franchise described with a movie franchise. That's gonna be really fun.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and then what else we got? We're trying to get another live show. We'll get another live show out sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Yeah, we will.
And yeah, that's going to do it for us here. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next time for our Pride Month special.